I pass the church, I like to stop and pay a visit. So when I'm hauled in first, the Lord won't say, "Who in the world is this?" I enjoy life. I've enjoyed living. And I said, the older I get, I've got a feeling my wife has been talking to nursing homes. I ain't talked to none of them, but we're getting a lot of mail about nursing homes. And every morning she'll ask me, "How you feeling?" But I've enjoyed every moment of life. I've enjoyed the meeting. It has been great. It's just been great. I've enjoyed the preaching and all the singing. And I used to could jump like some of these boys have been jumping, but my jumper broke. The want to is still there, but the can do won't work. Oh. Ever how it may goes out, well, I'll just say Jesus knows best, and I'll just go on. Love the church. Love Brother Ray. We were at a preacher's meeting some years ago while I was still pastoring. We had a good senior program. We'd load up on the bus and go to eat and go to fellowship, and there's a fellowship somewhere down here. And some fella got up, they called it preaching, but I don't know, you know, what they were doing. And I sat there, I didn't really enjoy it, but I endured it. And Brother Ray come walking by, I'd never met him. He come walking by, they called him to the pulpit, I said, "Go to real preacher." Somebody said, "You know him?" I said, "I don't know him." "Well, how do you know the real preacher?" I said, "I can tell him where he's walking." And he got up and brought a great message that day, and I've never forgot that. And I appreciate him. Over the years, I never got to come to the meeting. I love my church. I stayed with it 36 and a half years. And I was going about 5 Sundays, I think, maybe during that time. And I just stayed there. But then, over the latter years, I was on the mailing list. I don't know where Brother Ray got it, but on the mailing list. So I told my wife that we'd go into that meeting. And I've been trying to get here ever since. And I've loved every moment of it. And I certainly covet your prayer. Well, it ain't over till it's over. When it's over, it'll be over. But I'm going to enjoy life. I'm going to live so bless God, not die. I'll take the undertaker 3 days, get the smile off my face. And I don't want to die grouchy. Bad enough to get old, bless God, must let's get grouchy, you know. You ever have a colonoscopy? I didn't know what the doctor was talking about. I thought it was more picking a briar at your finger, but I found out different. And you know what kind of shape they put you in? They's a lie about it. Well, my wife asked him that day, said, "Can I go in there?" She crawled up like a monkey on a stool over in the corner. And the nurse is over here, and he back here. And I knew something was going to happen. And I said, "They ain't used to being sad about this thing. I'll just tell him a funny." I don't know what he had back. It looked like I hear wrenches and screwdrivers. And I wasn't going to. I got him so tickled. He got up and left the room. I'm not lying to him. My wife's sitting right here. He got up and left the room. Got so tickled. About 5 minutes, he stuck his head back in the door and said, "Is he still in here?" He got back on his little stool back there and continued what he had planned to do. And said, "A fellow like that with a sense of humor like that ain't never going to die. And I want to live like that." I mean, I run into a little write-up called Senior Wisdom, and I think I could be called a senior, maybe. Senior Wisdom, never slap a man when he's got a mouth full of chewing tobacco. Don't ever do that. He said, if you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. That makes sense, don't it? And said, there's two theories to arguing with a woman. Neither one of them don't work. I thought that was real good. I thought that. Said, a lion, after eating a bull, went through the forest growling and groaning and carrying on and rejoicing. And a hunter was on his stand, and he killed that lion. Now, the moral of the story is, when you're full of bull, keep your mouth shut. That senior wisdom. And being born on the farm, the first pair of shoes I ever had, I walked back with 3 days seeing what kind of track I was making. But now this is senior wisdom from a boy on a farm. Don't ever kick a cow chip on a hot day. I mean, don't ever do that. I covet your prayers. Pray for me when you pray. Take your Bible and turn with me, if you will, please, to the gospel according to St. Mark. My heart's been touched this week. I've been fed. I've been blessed. I've laughed. I've wept. I've cried. I've just enjoyed it, but I've heard a lot of things. And this scripture kept coming and running through my mind, running over it. And over it. Number one, there's a fact in my life I'm facing things that I never thought I would ever face. It ain't no fun in getting old. So you young folks, don't get old. An old man in our church used to say, the only way to keep from getting old is die young. But things that I never thought would ever come my way, health-wise, I've had to face, and I'm facing it now. But my good friend Bobby Leonard, you know Brother Bobby Leonard, you ever heard of Brother Bobby Leonard? He's an encouraging preacher. When you heard the things I was going through, he said, "What do you expect? You're 86 years old. What do you expect?" I said, "Well, it's good. I expect to live a little longer than that." But anyway, listen to the preachers, especially last night when this young preacher preached like he did, and this kept eating and gnawing on me. And through life, we all face many a time the unexpected, unthought of, and unplanned thing. But as long as we know what we know, that somewhere back down the road that we met a man called Jesus. He said, "I'll never leave you nor never forsake you." As long as we know that, we'll be able to make it all the way safe through. So I begin to think about this scripture here in the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 15. The bloodhounds of hell have already ran Jesus all the way in. Now then, he's come down to the place where they're going to make a decision. They're either going to turn a murderer loose or else they're going to kill the darling Son of God. And here this old governor here, he has no sense of humor about him, no God about him. But he was too weak to make a decision because of the people. And then therefore he said, which one should I release unto you? Barabbas or the man called Jesus? And they begin to call loose Barabbas. Kill him, go ahead. And I begin to think about it as I looked at this scripture here, knowing the life that I've lived and witnessing the people for 36 and a half years, sitting by the side of beds, holding the hands of people that were ready to cross over. My heart would go out, and I couldn't imagine what it would be like. I couldn't imagine what it would be like when the doctor would come in and say, I'm sorry, I have nothing else to do. I can't do anything to help you. And I would think, what would I do? How would I act if I should hear that? What would I do? I didn't know that in the years to come that I would hear some of that language. I didn't know that. And so as I began to read the scripture here and visiting all my life, pastoring the church 36 and a half years, started out as a young novice and did the best I can down through the years, but I'm a pastor. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a missionary. I'm a pastor. My heart today goes out to pastors. It's a different world now than it was ever I started. But ministering to people all the years like I did, and I would catch myself back in my singing days when we'd go to church, and I'm a young fellow then. I was around, I guess we started, I was saved at 28, out on the road before I was 32, and stayed there for about 10 years. I'd catch myself hanging around preachers and talking to them while the younger folks was out having a good time singing, but I'd catch myself hanging around them and listening to them talk. And I wondered then, I said, I wonder why I don't go out and enjoy with the young people. I'd just like to be around the old preachers. But I found out in the years to come that God was dressing me down and getting me ready to face what some people that I'd be dealing with in my life would be facing. So with that said, as we look here in chapter 15, as straightway in the morning, the chief priest held a conversation with the elders, as scribes, and the whole council, and Jesus, bound Jesus, carried him away to deliver him to Pilate. I find that then on down for the sake of time, verse 7, and there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him who had committed murder in the institute. Now, the drop over, if you will, please, with that in mind, where they crowned our blessed Savior with a crown of thorns. I heard the pastor say something about Jesus being on the cross. A little church down home, and they asked me not long ago. Well, I went out twice to preach for them, and on down on the pulpit down here is a great big statue of somebody who called it Jesus and put him on the cross. One day I was preaching, I couldn't hand it no longer. I went around, I said, I tell all you folks, he ain't there no more. And like Brother Wheeler last night, he ain't dead, thank God. And I thought about that, and I said, he's not on that cross no more. Get him off. He's not there anymore. Therefore, he's our comfort in the time where we have nowhere to go and know not what to do. Standing somewhere in the shadow, you'll find him. I like that song, standing somewhere in the shadow, you'll find Jesus. He's a friend who always cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadow, you will find him. And you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. And so they've done run him all the way in here now. Chapter 16, and the soldiers led him away unto the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole council from the same time. You know, they're heading now to the cross with him. It's all decided on that they're going to kill him. And they're heading to the cross. Now drop your eyeballs all the way down to verse 21. And they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. I want to talk to you for a few minutes today on the unexpected cross. I've heard these people, preachers this week preach, and I've studied people for, 50 years or else longer. And some of the most meanest people that I've ever met is people who were compelled to bear a cross that they thought they would never bear. But by the same token, I have met some of those sweetest people that I've ever met, who were compelled to bear a cross that they had not ever expected or ever planned to bear. And so as I looked at this here, Simon here, I found out his day started out as always. Everything was just all right. And I think of when this vertigo hit me. I was in my office on Saturday night, and I reached up to get a book off the top shelf. And when I did, I sat down, the room made one spin. I didn't think nothing about it. And then I went on, completed my study for the morning. And the next one, I went up and down to the hall and got me a glass of orange juice. And when I did, the whole house turned upside down. I didn't know what was happening to me. I found out it was vertigo. My good friend in Georgia, Larry Brown, said, "I ain't got vertigo, I ain't got fur to go. But be that as it." And I looked at that and I said, "Dear God, I never thought that my day would end like this. Neither did Simon, and neither did the many of you sitting here today ever dream that your life would end and begin as it has in the days gone by." I looked at that real close, and I said, never given a thought, Simon, that his life would be changed forever when he was compelled to bear this cross. Now, I looked at that real careful for a long time. Jesus said, "Take up your cross and follow me." Now, I said, if he said, "Take up your cross and follow me," how am I going to put this in here that Simon said to bear the cross? Now, I thought as a young preacher, I was thinking 2x4s, you know. Then when I grew in the Lord and studied the Bible, there was no way to hang an average man on a 2x4. And I kept reading and studying, and I got to reading after one writer, and he began to describe the size of the timbers, and I had never thought that the Son of God was hanging on. And here's what I believe. Believe what you want to, be wrong if you want to, better than me. But anyway, I believe as he was traveling up there, that cross had to be, the beam had to be several feet long, had to be at least 3 feet in the ground, maybe more, maybe less. Had to be high enough to hold a man. And it had to be maybe a 4x4 or 6x6, maybe an 8x8. One writer said it weighed a few hundred pounds that he had. And I believe Simon was compelled to get the tail of that cross on his shoulder because his intestines were showing, his rib cage is done beating him, and he's traveling up that mountain. And I thought when I read that, and I said, "My God, he loved me so much to suffer death on the cross." And after a while, thank God, when he looked toward the Father and said, "It's all finished. I'm glad nothing to be given and nothing to be taken away. And I'm glad, thank God, the man called Jesus loved me enough to go all the way and give every drop of blood in his body Thank God for me. And so as life began, Simon, this morning, as unexpected, he hadn't planned that. He hadn't planned it. Many of us had begun our day, but before the sun set, either the telephone would bring or the postman would bring. Something would happen that would click, completely change our life. And I want to talk to you now a few minutes now on the unexpected cross. I looked at that real careful. On this early morning while Simon the Cyrenian was coming out of the country, he met these people. There was two men there that was bearing crosses, and the third one. He said he had never seen the like in his life. He had never seen a man so submissive and so pleasant as the Lord Jesus Christ was. And therefore, he wore a crown of thorns. There his body was lacerated and bleeding, leaving a trail of blood. And Simon was scared away with this. And he began to look and began to walk close. And as he began to walk closer and closer, as if to help Jesus, which was strictly forbidden by the authorities, and then not recognizing Simon by a swarthy tad as being a Jew, and they compelled him to help to bear this cross. And that's what I come to think of bearing the unexpected cross. I thought of my brothers up here a moment ago and saying, Brother Hughes, I've always admired him. I like his singing. I've always admired him. But here he is. I'm sure he never thought that when I seen him last, he'd be in a wheelchair. And I asked him this morning, I come down the aisle, I said, where's the wheelchair? He said, I traded for this thing here. He got him a walking cane, but he's got 4 feet, 4 prongs on it. I don't know what's got to be on it, but I thought of that. Never planned. And if you'd be honest with me today, some of the hardest hits you ever had in your life, if never you had to bear a cross that you did not plan to bear. Not long ago, almost 2 years ago, my ears stopped up. I don't know what happened, but I couldn't hear. And I went and they did an MRI on me and found a little spot right here, up here between my eyes. And they said they didn't think it was a horn coming out. Of course, I wasn't sure what it might be. But anyway, they carried me to the cancer doctor and told him, and sent all the work along. And he said, I always do my own work. I don't take a lot of time. But he did, and when he come back, and found out that I had cancer of the marrow of the bone. And he done about like that colonoscopy fella done. He said, back up here and drop your britches, if you will, please. I don't know what he used, but it was something that made a big hole back here in my hip. He pulled juice out and determined that I had cancer of the marrow of the bone. I tell everybody, well, it's a low grade. He said, you'll probably die of something else. And looks like I am. And he said, number two, if it was the middle grade, you can maybe start packing. But if it was the high grade, you could tell me goodbye now, and I'll tell you to go on and, to the house. But I never knew that. I never thought I'd ever face anything like that. And so I began to look at this here, and I said here, as Simon was compelled to bear this cross. And I put it together through thoughts here. I said the unexpected cross Simon bore is suggestive to the unexpected cross that we face in our life. I looked at that and I said, I call this, first of all, the cross of imposition, imposed upon him. This cross was imposed. I looked at that real close and I made a few notes. I said the cross that Simon bore, Simon the Cyrenian bore, imposed upon him, and there are many today, you're sitting here today and you're bearing a cross that was imposed upon you. You never had planned to go that route. You never even thought of it going that route. Never did I. I could run day and night, day and night. I asked last night the young preacher that preached and about the night that he was talking about, we met in the cafeteria. And I said, son, how he's only 45 years old. I think I remember when I was 45. I'm not sure that I do. And like the other day, and I stood and told my age, I said, I'm 85. My wife jerked my coat and she said, 86. I said, well, I was going to skip one there. I don't remember it anyway. I said the cross that was imposed upon him. It may be a cross to their physical deformity that many of you sitting here, you're having to bear. But Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free. No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. Hey, are you listening to me? Thank God. It ain't too bad to carry a walking stick. People let you get in front of them in the food line. Hold the door open for you. Yeah. Pat you on the back. And then as you walk by, they'll whisper to the neighbor, said, I feel so sorry for him. But they don't know. It's not all bad. To have to walk around on a walking cane. And I looked at that and I said, the burden of the cross, the heavy burden that some of us have, it could be the cross of physical deformity or moral weakness. It might be a cross of circumstances. I looked at that real close. Misunderstanding. Come here. Hey, I'm a pastor. I'm not a missionary and I'm not an evangelist. I'm a pastor. Why does people expect a church to be perfect when it's made up of imperfect people? I almost call them a jackhat, not a donkey. My wife said to call them a donkey. But decide that they're going to go to church somewhere else because they don't like it. It's a hypocrite. And I'm like that preacher boy said like that. There's always room for one more. And I was preaching one time and I said, when God finishes with me, I hope he let me cut a fit right over here, right down on the community and down in the floor. There's a woman there that had left the church because it wasn't perfect and joined the Alpine Baptist Church. And she came up to me after service and she said, Pastor, if that should happen to you, do you know what it would do to us? I said, yes, ma'am. It'd scare more hell out of you than I've ever preached out of you. I mean, why does people expect the church to be perfect when it's made up of imperfect people? If you want the kind of a church like the kind of a church you like, don't slap your clothes in a grip and start on a long, long hike. You'll only find what you left behind. There ain't nothing really new when you knock at your church, my friend. It might be not be the church. It could be you, saving right there. And I looked at that and I said, across a misunderstanding, a persecution. I said it might be a cross of providence, affliction, a cross of just misunderstanding. Now, why could we not, my friend, when we face these places in our life, to realize that we're all, every one of us human, and would everyone stink if it wasn't for right guard and left guard, shaming right there? Every one of us. And I said the cross, I called it the cross of imposition. Then I called it the cross of interruption. This cross interrupted Simon's life all the way. When I come down with all my problems that I've got, and I'll not dump them on you, it might make you sick. When I come down with it, I thought, how? When all of it come. But then I said I belong to him. And I was rambling the other day through my tapes and CDs that I collected over the years and been on radio. And I found this old singer singing, Lord, if you can't find in your will to move that mountain, give me grace to climb. I said, Lord, if you can't touch me and heal me, give me grace, thank God, to put up with what I got to put up with. So don't you worry about this old mule going blind. No, no. I said the cross here of interrupting. Interrupted his entire life here. I looked at that real cross, and the cross left on Simon interrupted completely. The unexpected cross may interrupt our plans. His plans were changed so unexpectedly as so as ours. Many interrupted the purpose of everything that we're going. But you know what? Some of those sweetest people that I've ever met in my life was those that the cross was compelled to bear a cross when it was never expected. Let me tell you this. What was them fellas having a bottle of drinking last night? Get me one out that smells real good. I'm sure Kurt last night, he had one. When I went to Columbus, South Carolina, I met a man, his name was Julius Brazel. Wasn't a member of the church, but he was a godly man. When he was a young man, he was cutting a tree and it kicked back. Now, you city boys don't know what that is. But now, you country boys know what I'm talking about. This tree kicked back and broke his back. And I got to know him and I'd go see him. And had smiles in that wheelchair. And one day, I got a call that his wife had a cerebral hemorrhage and in the hospital. And I'd go see her for months. I'm in months that she stayed there. And I'd go see her and go see him. But they brought her home one day, and he called me and said, "Preacher, my wife's home. If you have time, I'd like to stop by." And I go see him. Hey. I went to see him. He's sitting there in his wheelchair. She's in the bed, don't know that she's in the world. And he's rubbing her arm, holding her hand, said, "Darling, I'm here. I ain't going nowhere. Sweetheart, I'm here." Rubbing her arm, rubbing, "Sweetheart, I'm here. I ain't going nowhere." Every time I'd be visiting around, I'd go drop by and see him. So one day I went, he's sitting there holding her hand and rubbing her arm. Here's what he said. I said, "Preacher, this is my sweetheart. Never dated another girl. Never known another girl. Preacher, this is my sweetheart." He said, "Do you believe God answers prayer?" I said, "I sure do." He said, "Would you pray with me that she will open her eyes and know that I'm still here?" God, I know a lot of fellas, you know, when she opened her eyes, he done gone, got him another. You hear me? And I said, "I do." He said, "You take my hand in her, and you pray that God just let her open her eyes and let her know that I'm here." We prayed. He's in a wheelchair. She's in a coma. And we prayed. I went back about 3 days later and said, "Preacher, I'm fixing to call you." I said, "Yes, sir, what happened?" He said, "Would you believe yesterday that sweetheart opened her eyes and smiled at me and went back off?" Hey, listen to me. Listen. He and I sat there and we talked, we wept, and we prayed. Some of those sweetest people I ever know were those that are compelled to bear a cross they had never in their life ever thought of, never planned to go, not ever. And I thought the unexpected cross, the cross that was imposed. But then I said it's a cross of identification. Brother Mustang talked much about the cross. I've got songs about the cross. The old rugged cross. Jesus, keep me near the cross. But I'm glad, thank God, he ain't on the cross. But when I look at that cross, I realize, thank God, he's been there. And by him being there, every drop of blood runs from his body. And that's why I thank God today that I'm heaven bound and hell proof. Are you hearing me? I shed this cross here that was born was a cross of identity. I looked at that real close. The cross of imposition and interruption was the cross of identification. Simon literally bore the cross imposed upon him. The cross which he completely interrupted his entire life. And I looked at that and I said, "Dear God," as I looked at it, I thought that this cross, many of us have been, it's been imposed upon many of us, and we've been compelled to bear that cross. But I said, on my way home, I'm going home. Thank God I got a home bought and paid for since 1959. And my friend, are you listening to me? Don't feel sad of me because I'm getting old. No sirree, not the shape this old world is in. By the way, did you all know that our president has changed the national anthem? I didn't think you knew that. What did he change it to? "Well, I'm moving on up to the east side. We just got to have a piece off that pie." Now, back to where I'm going. With this whole world and the mess that it's in, are you hearing me? Are you listening? My wife and I, God blessed us with a beautiful home some several years ago, and two acres of yard to keep up. And, you know, I ride the lawnmower, and I said, sweetheart, what are we going to do? She said, oh, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Yes, ma'am, we will. We'll cross when we get to it. But a few weeks ago, I said, darling, we are at the bridge, but they ain't one here. Now what do we do? She's still wondering now what she's going to tell me. But I said, as old as I am and the mess the world is in, thank God there's a better home awaiting. I don't want to drive my stakes too deep. I want to keep them where I can pull out. There's a song, does Jesus care? Oh, yes, he cares. I know that he cares. And I like that song, this world ain't my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Let me give you this. Man, that's flavored just right. Where'd the piano player go? Where you go, child? Where she went, where? What are you doing, Webica? Is Miss Charlotte, the missionary gal, is she here? Anyway. I thought about the story that I read. Just play softly, sweetheart. Anything be good. She's coming around the mountain or anything like that. I thought about World War I. They didn't have the communications that they have now. And way back 50, 75 miles away on was a bunch of soldiers. And they finally got the message to them, the war's over. Tear your tents down, pack up. There'll be a truck after you sometime today. So, boy, he was hungry and tired and beat. No shower, no shaving in a few days. He said, I didn't feel like I could possibly ride that old cattle truck 50 or 75 miles. Whoa! But then he said, I realized I'm heading home. He said then, I said, I don't see I can lay several days or maybe a week in the one of those filthy bus stations. And he said, I got all bent out of shape. But said then it dawned on me, I'm heading home. Hey, that old doctor looks through them bead glasses he's got and tells me my problem. Deep down inside, I say, I'm heading home. Tell Mama I'll be there. Mama, I'll be home before dark. Tell Mama I'll be there. And he said, then I realized they're going to put me on that old cattle boat. And I'm going to bounce around in that water. Maybe better off if it just sink and let me get it over with. But then all of a sudden, he said, it dawned upon me, I'm heading home. This world ain't my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere way beyond the blue. Thank God. But then he said, we got on that boat, flopping in a mountain and a mountain and a flopping. It's the wind of night. One of them youngest soldiers sitting up there said, we see the harbor lights. He said, I sprang to my feet and I don't see nothing. Said that young soldier said, look above the fog line. Hey, let me tell you something. If you're walking down low, look above the fog line. The lights of home are on. The welcome mat's out. And he said, come higher, children. Come higher. This world is not our home. He said, after a while, they pulled in at the gangplank was lowered, and he said, I got off. He said, I knelt and kissed this ground. Looked up at the Statue of Liberty and said, thank God, I'm safe home. After a while, I'm glad, thank God. After a while, when I kneel at his feet, look into his face and say, thank God I made it home. Only by the grace of God, I've made it. I made it all the way home. I'm here. We're poor land farmers. And I'd go by the house on my way to Bible school. And my daddy'd be sitting out on the porch. He's over on the old perch of Whitley. You know what he'd say? He said, go in there and see your mama, boy. She's in the kitchen. She must have said a dozen times our boy Jim might come by today. Go in there and see your mama. And she'd always pull me down and kiss me on the dog and give me a dollar. 1961, that's a lot of money. And she'd say, go in there and talk to your daddy. And I believe today, every time a boatload comes in, I believe that Jim, our boy, might come home today. Jim, our boy, might come home today. Oh, thank God. I'm glad, thank God, by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you this. We're in Bible school. My mother had a blood problem. She had to go over to Charlotte to have her blood thinned. And I went to church on Sunday. Our Bible school went a week and 3 days. And she loved color. She loved color. Now, would you come back tomorrow and bring me a dozen red roses? I said, Mom, I can't. She said, you could get somebody to take. I know I can, Mama, but I just need to be there. And I wish a thousand times you fellas, I wish a thousand times I had her. But I feel like I need to be there. On a Tuesday morning, telephone rang. The nurse at the hospital in Greenwood, South Carolina said, Reverend Alvin Flynn, please, I'm speaking. She said, all I know to tell you, Mama dead. And it done something to me. We was at the breakfast table. And I said, now, my wife said, what happened? I said, Mama's dead. Mama's dead. My wife said, but that, I said, no, darling. No mistake. Mama's dead. Now, when it come time, call us all in, fearful. Undertaker opened the envelope. Mama had fixed 5 years prior. We didn't know anything about it. Had everything picked out. Had all of our preachers out. The little church you went to that had 4 preachers. At the bottom of that line, my name was there. The undertaker said, now, Reverend Fleming said, I know your mother got, I said, listen, you do your thing, I'll do mine. My mama never asked me to do nothing that she didn't believe I could do, or I'd be found trying when she came back. You put my name in. So, Todd, have you ever sung that song, Just One Rose Will Do? Just One Rose Will Do. I went and told my floor there in Columbia what happened. I said, I want a big red rose and a pretty arrangement. That day I didn't get up there with the rest of them preachers. I stood down here by the casket. And I wouldn't let them close it. I don't like that. I think it ought to stay open until the last minute. And I said, Mama, you said she couldn't hear. How you know she couldn't? I'm sorry I didn't get back, but I didn't know that you was going to leave so early, and I know you didn't. But, Mama, I brought you a big red rose. And, Mama, I'll be home before dark. Tell Daddy I'm on my way. And then I sang to her. When time shall come for my leaving, when I bid you adieu, don't spend your money for flowers when just one rose will do. Help me up here, son. I'm going to a beautiful garden when my last work is through. Don't spend your money for flowers when just one rose will do. Just have some old-fashioned preacher. Just to preach a sermon so true. I need no organization when just one road will do. I'm going to a beautiful garden when my last work is through. Don't spend your money for flowers when just one rose will do. And I'm confident now. As Mother said many times, Jim, our boy might come home today. I preached my mother's funeral, my daddy's funeral, two sisters and a brother. I believe now she'll say to Daddy Jim, that boy might come on this day. Tell Mother I'll be there in answer to her prayer. Oh, angel, tell my mama I'll be there. Tell Mother I'll be there. Heaven's joy with her I'll share. Oh, angel, tell my mama I'll be there. Father, thank you. Thank you, 59 years ago. I know, Lord, I was born in a poor farmer's home. And they did the best they could. But I'm glad, Jesus. I thank you. Lord, for pulling me all the way off of the bottom, thank God. You gave me clothes to wear, a place to ride. And Lord, this week I've met some of the most precious people. And Lord, after a while, I'll have to leave here. But I'm glad, thank God, where we're going. We'll never be no part. We'll never have to say goodbye. But thank God we'll be together forever and forever and forever. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. Brother, hand me my Bible. Give me a drink of that water.